We want to look at a very profound truth in the Bible this morning. And I hope that you are blessed as I was when I prepared this message. Christ is preeminent in all things. I want to just briefly give us 4 points in this message this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this, that Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. It is important for us to keep in mind that we should never idolize or revere a person, no matter how important they are to us and how good we think they are. What I mean by that is no person in this world deserves the reverence and the idolization, only Christ alone. We will be disappointed if we idolize a person, no matter who it is. In the end, they will disappoint us. Jesus needs to be revered. He needs to be worshipped. He needs to be adored. He needs to be held in highest esteem at all times by us in our lives. He is the only one that will be there for us even when everything else in life has fallen or is falling apart and shatters. Paul teaches that Christ is first and superior to all others. This is where a lot of people get hung up on. This is a real problem with society in our time. Most people will admit that there is a higher being, that there is a God, but that we should commit our lives and our worship to Christ and Christ only. To them, they just shake their head. They say, no way. Why Jesus only? Why not others too? But this is what Paul is saying here. He is preeminent in, not some things, in all things. The first point I want to make here is that Christ is preeminent in all things pertaining to the church. This is what our text says here. He is the head of the body, the church. And this is good for us to remember this. That if a certain person, a group of people, or other elements take the preeminence in the church, it will no longer be God's church. And even if we call ourselves Church of God, if Christ is not preeminent in our church, if he is not the head of the church, then we are just a human organization that God will have to turn his face away from. In verse 18 here, he is the head. That refers to the authority, to the one in charge, to the one responsible, and we do well. And I think oftentimes we pay maybe lip service to this truth of the Bible and tell ourselves that we are in good standing when in our hearts we want to have it our own way. We don't want Christ to have the preeminence of everything. And we can easily get into this. I would like to use the German word for it. We can easily get into a Fahrwasser, which means we can get into a rut that we believe that Christ is still there. We pay him lip service, but he is not really preeminent in our church, that he doesn't have the say, that we as elders or as leaders, as committees, that we have the say of what needs to be done in church and what shouldn't be done. But we should be seeking through the Holy Spirit and through prayer what the head of the church wants from us now at this time. Not what happened in the past, not what's about the future. What does Jesus want us to do as a church today? And that is very important. And Paul uses the illustration of the body here and to illustrate the spiritual body of Christ. Paul is teaching that Christ is the head of the group of people that make up the church. That means the Christians. Christ is preeminent in the sense that he is the head and he is the thinker and he's the spokesman for the church. He rules, not we. And this frees me up. As a pastor, I'm your servant. I'm the servant of God. I'm the servant of Christ. He is the head, not me. And I'm very glad that the Pope in Rome is not the head of the church, as the Catholics may want to believe that the Pope is the head of the church. No, nowhere in the Bible do you read that the Pope in Rome is the head of the church. No way. Christ is preeminent in his church. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means that Jesus himself will build. We are just his helpers. And we need to remember that. Just as the physical body must have a head, and the head directs the body, in the same manner, Christ is the head of the spiritual body, which is called the church. Each local congregation needs to teach what Christ, the head, the preeminent one, wants to do, and we need to keep that fresh in our minds every week. The second point I want to make here, that Christ is preeminent in all things pertaining, that he is the beginning of all things. And this is a very profound truth, and this is very interwoven with the creation story, that when we read about God created everything, but here in Colossians chapter 1, we read that God created everything through Christ, by him and for him. That he made nothing without Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ was the procreator of everything. In verse 18, the second part says, he is the beginning. Christ is the beginning. So it emphasizes here that the preeminence of Christ relating to Christ being the creator of the universe and all things that are in our world today was made in and by Jesus Christ. The Greek word here, arche, which means beginning, and translates that be, which anything begins to be, the origin, the active cause. I like that translation. The active cause of everything. Christ caused everything to come into being. You know, when this is how I envision it, when God the Father decided that he wanted to create the world, he had a very, very important conversation with his son, Jesus Christ. He said, well, what about it, son? If we create the world, and I know that the human beings, they will fall, are you willing to die on the cross for them when the time comes? So that we can save mankind from their sins. And then Jesus says, yes, I am willing. And because of that commitment, this is how I understand the gospel. Because of the commitment of Jesus Christ that he said to the Father, and he promised the Father, yes, I will come into the world that you create. I will do everything I can to save mankind. Upon that promise, God created everything through Jesus Christ, everything through him, by him, and for him. So Jesus was the first cause of everything. Christ was not the first one that was created, like some would have it. That some say that God the Father made his son, and he was the first one that he made. Christ was not created. Christ is eternal, as God is eternal. He has always existed. Jesus Christ himself said, before Abraham was, I am. Christ began the universe. God's role in the creation of the universe was in the planning and designing what God wanted to create all through Christ. So Christ is not just a builder, a contractor. He is the Creator. He is the old Yahweh, Yeshua. And the power of Christ's words, He brought about the literal and the actual existence of everything that God designed. And this is very important for us to understand. The Bible teaches that there are three personalities of God. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three were very active in all the creation, even in the creation of man. And I don't want to go into all of the details, the similarities of what we have as human beings that is reflected in God's being and God's deity. But one thing is clear, that God is omnipotent. He is omnipresent, and He is omniscient, which is all knowledgeable. Because of Jesus Christ, He has revealed that to us. In verse 2 and 3 in Colossians, He was the beginning, in the beginning with God. In actually, this is John chapter 1. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. This is why I emphasize this morning. Because I can say this with confidence. Nothing was made, nothing was created, except through Jesus Christ. And this gives Him the preeminence that He is the first cause of everything, the first cause of the universe, the first cause of the visible world, the first cause of the invisible world, and the first cause of His church, because He is the head of the church. So God has created a spiritual world, a spiritual organism, if you will, through His church. And His church is alive and will always be alive, because Jesus, the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, He purchased His church with His own blood. How did He purchase it? Because we were lost in our sins. We were totally cut off from the blessings of God and the blessings of Israel, as Paul mentions. But now, through Jesus Christ, He purchased us from this lostness, from this darkness, and He puts us into His kingdom, and now we belong to Him by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the first cause of Christ. And when we think of, when we read the book of Acts, how the church came into being, we must be in awe and just say, wow, God did it. He created His church. And loved ones, this is our assurance. He will continue to build His church. He made the visible world. He made the spiritual world, which is the body of Christ. Christ is preeminent in all things pertaining that He is the firstborn from the dead. That's in our text here too. So Christ was not created. He was the firstborn from the dead. How can we understand this if He was forever and ever? No, He came to this earth and He died on the cross. He came as a man, flesh and blood. And He died on the cross so that He would reconcile us to the Father. But listen carefully here. In the past, when we read throughout the book of the books of the Old Testament and even the New Testament, we know a lot of people that were raised from the dead. Just think of the Shunammite's widow's son, and others in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, where Jesus was raising people from the dead, and especially Lazarus in John chapter 11. But guess what? All of those that were raised from the dead, they died again. But when Jesus rose from the dead, He rose never to die again, ever. And this is why He is the firstborn of the dead, resurrected. And this gives us the hope that we have. Because of Christ's resurrection, we have a guarantee that you and I will also be resurrected, and we will have bodies, we will be like Christ, that will last for all eternity. We will never grow old. We will never be sick. And that is the wonderful message that we have in the gospel. That in all things, Colossians 1:18, He may have preeminence. He went before us. We follow Him. Because we allow Him to have the preeminence in our lives. Let me go to the fourth point here. Christ is preeminent because the fullness of God dwells in Him. And this refers to all that Christ has and is for us. For it pleased the Father that in Him the fullness should dwell. Many people say, well, you know, I need more than just Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is not enough. I need more than that. No. According to what the Bible tells us here, spiritually speaking, whatever we need for our spiritual life, whatever we need to live a godly life on this earth, we have in Jesus Christ. And in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. He has full salvation. He has full victory over sin. He has full redemption. Cleansing from a bad conscience. He has everything for us. He has eternal life. And not just a little bit, not just once, and then we do away with it. No, Christ wants to be in our lives every day. In Colossians 2 verse 9, the use of the term Godhead is in reference to God and to Jesus Christ, His Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead dwells literally in Jesus Christ. He is King of all. He is preeminent of all. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says. It means directly. So if you're not a Christian, your number one concern should be to obey Jesus' plan of salvation and become a member of His church. And that is through the new birth. If you have never responded to the message of the gospel and you have never seen this important fact that Jesus is the preeminent one and that the gospel is true, then I urge you this morning, make that commitment and say, Lord, I want You to have the preeminence in my life in all things. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter and the apostles are closing out with the first gospel sermon that was preached. This was 10 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And in closing, the closing words of this sermon, when we keep reading there, we read this, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Christ was the anointed one. So Peter points out that they were guilty of the sin of insisting that Christ should be crucified, but that God has made Christ the Master, the Lord, the ruler of everything. And that is the truth of the New Testament. So my question is Jesus your Master, your Lord, your ruler? Does He have the preeminence in your life? The term Lord refers to Christ as being the Master and ruler of one's life. And many of us, we may think, well, I feel very uncomfortable to be ruled by another person. Well, let me just point this out. We're not very good at ruling ourselves, are we? We're not very good at controlling ourselves, right? When we sin, when we stumble and fall, we're not very good at handling all that, right? Why don't we give it over to the Lord? Those who were listening at that time to the apostles, they were convinced that sin was in their life, that disobedience was there. They were convinced that Jesus had the answer to their dilemma. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the next verse that I read before, verse 36, contains the question that those in Jerusalem asked after the apostles had preached. And the Bible says this, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now listen carefully here. When they heard Peter and the apostles preach that this Jesus, whom you have crucified, that God has made him Lord and Christ, they were cut to the heart, not annoyed, not angry. They were cut to the heart to the point where they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? We are confronted with the fact that Jesus is the preeminent one. He is the Lord and Master. We are accountable to him, and we have to answer to him one day. What shall we do? Because they realized that they had sinned and needed to be forgiven of their sins, and the instructions were given to them. And all people owe it to themselves to do this in our day and time. We will give an account to Christ, the preeminent one, one day. And Peter's answer is this. He said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This was his answer, and I believe that answer is still relevant today, or would you think it's different? I think that answer is still valid for anyone today. That we repent and we be baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit. That is the end goal of Christ being the preeminent one. He wants to indwell us. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants his creation. Let me put it this way. He wants his creation to be complete. And the work that he has begun in you, he will complete it. And I want to encourage you this morning. I think we're all believers here. I hope so. Let and allow Christ to be the preeminent one in your life. Give him the number one spot in your heart. And your life will always have purpose. You will always have hope. Even though it may be hard at times, but you have always somebody to go to, always something to fall back on, because you know that Christ is alive. He is the preeminent one. God bless you. Amen.